Praise the Lord. I feel like I can take my time. Can I take my time today?
Yes, you can. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You know how pastors or preachers will come up and they say, I feel my help coming after the second hour of preaching. Yeah. So I'm going to pray. I ask for you to pray for me now that I feel my help coming at the beginning of the sermon.
Yeah.
So that we don't have 2 hours until my help comes, amen.
Right, right.
I don't even think that's biblical that the help is just now coming, because where was the help all along?
Right.
At the beginning of the sermon and on the highway to get here and
right.
Every day of the week. But, you know,
yes.
I know it's just an expression. So,
right.
Oh, God is good, amen.
Amen.
God is good. I am so blessed to be here with family. Just for this short time, I've been here a week back in Ohio and been traveling on the roads to get here, and we'll be going back to Cayman Monday, Miami Monday, Cayman Tuesday. But I think one of the things that I don't take for granted is when I can assemble together
yes.
with the body.
Yes.
And I've said this before, I think sometimes when we have the conveniences that we have in this country of being able to assemble without police threat, without threat of persecution, without threat of being killed, it becomes then a little bit more just commonplace and habitual.
Yeah.
But I pray that God shakes us out of the habitual praise. Amen. I pray that he shakes us out of habitual worship. And what I mean, not by in terms of a habit, but typical, something that is not extra, where you're really pressing and just going through the motions. So may we not go through the motions. May we go above and beyond. Amen.
Yes.
Because our audience, who's our audience? We have one.
Yes.
We have an audience of one.
Yes.
Right? And so when I am up here with the microphone, I am just that, I say, Lord, use me as your mouthpiece, because it's not about the individual. It's always about his glory. Amen. And his word. And so I just pray that you pray for me and with me
yeah.
as we delve into God's word, because, you know, we get excited to share.
Yes.
And I just all want to take my time. Amen.
Yes.
And because it was a request by my wonderful, blessed Uncle Marcus a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I'm gonna stay true to my promise to give you all of the verses at the beginning. All right, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to give you everything, I think, that I'm going to talk about, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this slowly. If it's not loud enough or slow enough, you let me know.
All right.
Amen, lights. So.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to look at Matthew 6. This is going to be verses 22 through 34. Matthew 6. 22 through 34. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. That is 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Isaiah 26 and 3. Isaiah 26 and 3. Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and then finally, 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, with the main focus today being Matthew 6, 25. And don't get worried. All those scriptures gonna be here till 4 o'clock.
It's all good.
Be here till night service.
Yeah.
So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time together. We ask that you would speak, that you would use me to bless your people, to edify the body according to your word, according to the purposes that you would have your word to go forth and accomplish in each and every person that is here, each and every person that is listening and watching on Zoom, each and every person that will hear the broadcast even after this point. We pray that your word goes forth and does exactly what it needs to do in the hearts, minds, bodies, and souls of each and every individual that I mention. We ask, God, that you would help me to bring forth your word with accuracy, balance, and clarity. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, that you would be the message, that your word is most important and not me. I thank you, and I'm humbled by the opportunity to share your word with your beautiful people. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I feel like this could be part three of the mistaken identity. Look at the thumbs up from Andy. Part three of mistaken identity. I hadn't planned it like that, but when I was given the word, it just seems to fit into this big series of understanding who we are, which is crucial to who we are as Christians, as Christ followers. And so we could put that as sort of the part of this overarching series, but the actual title, and this is a part one of two within that series, it's called Take No Thought. Take No Thought. The subheading, Faith Over Fear. Take no thought, faith over fear. So let's start reading at Matthew 6, 22. The Bible says that the light of the body, I'm reading from the King James Version. You're welcome. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Then in 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And I'm going to stop there, because it's probably as far as we're going to get with part one today. Part two, we'll finish the rest of that passage. And when I'm reading this, starting at verse 22, actually you go back to 20, and you look at 20, you look at 21, and you see 22 and 23, and it seems like every verse the Lord is switching gears. Doesn't it seem like that? He's talking about completely different topics. And I'm like, Lord, you seem like you're all over the place, right? And we're talking about the master storyteller, right? But I'm like, these verses, they almost could be pulled from different passages, and it's almost like they were just put together until you keep reading, right? Pastor always says, when you read therefore, you have to see what it's what? Therefore. Amen. So when I'm looking at these passages, and I'm like, so what are you trying to say to us in this seemingly all over the place introduction to this part of Matthew 6? And what came to me, because he's talking about, you know, light. He's talking about the eye. Then he's talking about light and darkness. Then he's talking about serving two masters, God or mammon. And then he switches gears again and starts talking about eating and clothing. And you know, within a few passages of scripture, I'm like, well, this is very, very interesting. So why is the Lord putting all of this together? The reason why, if you look at the entire passage, even going back before what we're covering today, is that this entire passage is about faith over fear. Every single thing he talked about is either faith or fear. So what do you mean by that? Well, I hope and I pray that we have understanding by the end of today's message. So in verse 22, and I had to break, you know, like I like to break these things down just like all the other elders and understand the Greek and the Chaldean and all of that. And verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye, singular, be what? Be single. All right. Thy whole body shall be what? Full of light. So I had to look at three parts of this eye. So we look at eye, and why is it not if thine eyes be single? Because grammatically, I don't know if Jamie's online listening, but grammatically, that would make more sense, right? Thine eyes, if your eyes are single, if they're focused on a particular point, that to me would make more grammatical sense. But this was on purpose, because when you look at that particular transliteration of the word, meaning from Greek to the other languages to English, it doesn't mean the physical eye. He is not talking about your physical body right there. He's talking about your vision. That transliterates to vision or sight. So if your vision, and we're going to read through this again with understanding these words and these phrases from the Greek. So I'm going to teach you some Greek words today. The eye there is ophthalmos. Ophthalmos. What does that sound like? We get that, what? Ophthalmology. Ophthalmology, right? And that's what? The study of the, okay. So we get that from the Greek ophthalmos, right? But it transliterates to vision, what you're focused on. Okay. So if your vision, then be what? Single. That word in the Greek is haplus. Haplus means properly unfolded, all right? So if it's single, if your vision is properly unfolded, all right? I want you to get these. I'm an image person. I'm an artist, so I need to see stuff. Properly unfolded without folds, right? It's not wrinkled. It's not murky, okay? But you have, that word means undivided. So if your vision be undivided, you kind of see where I'm going here. Faith over fear.
Yeah.
I think Rod wants to preach the rest of this. Undivided focus, all right? Then the end of this verse, thy whole body shall be full of light. And full of light, that's a combined transliterated word, right? Now that Greek is photainos. And what that means in the Greek is well illuminated or clear. Well illuminated or clear. So one of the tenets of, you know, pastor's messages, he says accuracy, what? Balance and what?
Clarity,
right? Because we don't want to have a murky understanding or this sort of, he says, an unadulterated, right? That means just without impediment, without things that would sort of filter, okay, the veracity. It's illuminated, it's clear. All right, so your whole body, your whole persona will be illuminated. All right, that's verse 22. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. Now, what I found very interesting here between 22 and 23 is that, you know, this juxtaposition, meaning this comparison of the two scriptures side by side, the first one he uses single, right? if your eye be single, if your eye be undivided. But then in the next verse, he says evil. And I said, well, so you are almost equating an undivided, right? Divided would be the equivalent of an evil focus. So, you know, I'm, again, he's saying having that divided focus is evil, because he didn't say in that second, in the 23rd verse, he didn't say, okay, if your eyes be, you know, focused on two things. No, no, he went all out and said evil. And I looked up evil and it translates to evil. So I was like, well, that's exactly what you meant. Wow. There is if you're trying to focus, okay, on two different things, what do you mean? What two different things? You're trying to focus on both faith and fear at the same time. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm slowly wanting to get into the talk of anxiety and worry, because it's all in the same family. And at the core, and Lisa could tell you this better than I can, at the core of insecurity and worry and anxiety is what? Is fear. So if your eye be what? Undivided, not focused on trying to vacillate or go between both, being faithful, focusing on the word, focusing on promises, and yet at the same time not believing what God already said, I can't do both. I can't say I'm full of faith and yet I'm full of worry. See, and I only get anxious when I think about the future, which has not happened yet. But even there, and I'm going to go off script a little bit, even there, if I focus and look at the future, which hasn't happened, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday and today and forever. So what he's saying, and I love this, and you put this with 1,000 years as is a day to the Lord as a day is 1,000 years, you understand the concept of time doesn't apply to our God. So we have to say, to understand, we have to say, well, it's my past, present, and future. And God says, I don't understand that in the sense of who I am, but I do through your limited vision. Because I am an entity who said I am that I am. I didn't use any past tense there on purpose. See, because me, past, present, and future are all wrapped up in the same time. You can't understand that with our limited minds. But that's faith. Remember that, faith over fear. Because the future says, well, this could be, this might be, this can be. But God says, I am, and I am, and I am. So you don't have to worry about what could be, what can be, what might be, what should be, what shall be. So, God always in his word explains himself in his word. Because the answer is there in the word. Amen. Right. We don't necessarily need extra biblical sources unless we're studying the maybe archaeology of a certain area, or the history, or the cultural aspects of a society, or things that, you know, might not necessarily be recorded in scripture. But when it comes to what is written, the answer, if we look hard enough, is right there. And here in verse 24, he gives us the answer to understanding all of the previous verses. Right. Right. because he talks specifically about having a divided focus. He basically, and I love how the Lord taught and teaches, he says, well, just in case you didn't get the first hour of my message, for the farmers, I'm going to say it this way. For the carpenters, I'm going to say it that way, right? For the engineers, I'm going to say it this way. For the barbers, I'm going to say it that way. I need you to understand. So he always reiterated himself. And in verse 24, he says, well, listen, no man can serve two masters. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And I've always, that word mammon always just... Yeah, he didn't say money, he didn't say, you know, I always looked at that word and the significance of it. Because there's, again, it's there for a reason, right. Specifically, right? Right? And so here's another Greek word for you to learn today. Mammon is close to the English. Mammonas is Greek for avarice. What does avarice mean? It is extreme greed for wealth or material gain, and it is the personification of that concept. So I always found it interesting when I read this, because why would you put God, the supreme entity, next to any other type of noun unless it also was some type of entity?
Say it again.
I don't get too scary or anything, you know. I'm going to be scared. Oh, I know. But listen, I've always thought in our society, people who have this insatiable, unquenchable drive to just constantly amass money and money and millions is not enough, so we got to go billions and billions is not enough, and we're not really helping solve the world's problems. Now I'm going to go off a little bit of a tangent. I believe in capitalism for sure, but I believe in responsible capitalism, which we don't see that often. So I always felt that these people, I said, I just don't get it. I don't understand. And then I said, well, maybe there is some sort of entity that is driving them, because he's talking about masters. See, God drives us. Mammon drives them. So they're driven by this excessive greed for amassing financial gain and wealth. It's excessive. And I was like, well, maybe these people are possessed by that. Is that what you're saying? I don't, listen, this is my own side note. Don't take it as gospel. I said, but maybe they are influenced or by this entity, if it were an entity. See, but going back to what we opened with, what lies at the core of greed? Fear. It's fear. It is absolute fear. You could even, I'm not going to talk about it, but you could look at racism, it's fear. Right? If you trace it back, it goes back to fear. But this greed, the core of greed is fear. Why? Why do you say that? Because there is this insecurity that they might run out one day. That they might not have enough one day to do something in particular. I don't know what, buy another earth? I mean, at this point, most of them have enough. You know, I was down in Miami Beach and I was we were driving around and I was like, oh my goodness. And I said, look at that yacht. Like whose yacht is that? It's the length of almost a whole block. Just sitting there. Why? Why? Unless you have a cruise business, a personal cruise business, what are we doing? What are we doing? Meanwhile, people are hungry and starving, and babies are hungry and not with enough food to eat. And we see what's going on all over the world, not just in the US, not just in Cleveland, right? And we can't be insensitive to that. We're known by love. We're known by compassion, not by theology, not by how much we know. It's about who and how deeply we know who we know. Some of the most powerful, and I say powerful, people that I've ever encountered in God, they didn't understand theology to the extent of someone with a PhD. They didn't need to. But they understood it in the way that matters most. Because God said, what? Suffer the little children to come unto me, for as such are the kingdom of God. So at the core is fear. At the core of greed is fear. It reminds me, though, also what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 and 18. He says, to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, what? Arrogant, haughty, nor trust, remember that word, trust in uncertain riches. But in who? The living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then he continues on and says that they do good, that they be rich in what? Good works. See, here's the thing. You can be rich in both. He's not negating that. Because at the beginning of this, he says, charge those who are rich to do that, to give. He says, but that they give and that they be rich in good works. Ready to what? Distribute. Thank you. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So instead of focusing on fear, we are instructed by the Lord to what? Take no thought. Take no thought. And we're going to get to the imagery of that. But I want to go back a little bit, because I want to go back to this greed and this avarice, because these individuals tend to, you hear the word self-made, right? Among those circles, self-made this, self-made that, right? Yeah. No, it's the biggest lie. What they're saying is, I trust in me. That's when you hear self-made, it means I trust in me and my abilities to amass whatever I want in this life. That's what they're saying to you. That's exactly what it is. Their own methods, their prowess, their own intellect, they got it all figured out for this world. See, but we realize we have a higher calling, amen? A higher, a better world, a better place, that we are those pilgrims passing through, those sojourners in this land. But here's what I love. I love, and I'm getting ready to close, I think. Are we learning? I hope we're learning something. Just one thing. Because I learned, and as pastors sometimes say, he eats his own cooking, you know, and you get excited. But I love that the King James visually, the grammar here, Sister Rosie, makes it evident, right, that we have the opportunity to either take or not take thoughts. What are you talking about there? You go to the grocery store and you take something off the shelf and you put it in your basket and you decide to check out with that particular item, and you might see another item and you decide not to take it. Why? Because you don't like what it is, what it offers. It doesn't align with what you need to do. Amen? It doesn't align with your focus. It doesn't align with your vision. You don't take that item. So
come on.
See, and it reminds me of Isaiah 26:3, where the Bible says, thou will keep him, the psalmist says, well, the prophet says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he what? Trust in thee. And further speaking of trust, the psalmist said in Psalms 20:7, some trust in chariots. See, this is the self-made person, right? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will what? Remember, we'll hold fast to, we'll depend on. We're not just, see that remember, that's not a mental recollection. That is, I am depending on. See, it's the kind of remember that David said, see, I, he said, I defeated the lion and the bear. Right, that's the kind of remember, because when he was faced with this large problem, physically and figuratively, he was faced with this large problem. He said, I remember what God did, how God helped me with the lion and to take out the lion, and how God helped me with the bear and to take out the bear. And so he said, that same God, see, I don't know about you, but he said, that same God that helped me defeat those entities will also help me defeat this entity. So we will remember the name of the Lord. And what is the name? The name is the authority. The name is the power. And I'm going back to the very first part of this particular series, we talked about what the authority that we have because of who we are and whose we are. So the problem happens when we begin to take thoughts that don't belong to us. So if I'm in the grocery store and I usually walk right past the ice cream aisle, right? Yeah, you're so healthy. Listen, it's not because, you know, I'm focused on health, and I will eat ice cream sometime. But I typically walk right past it, right? Because the lactose, body don't like it, right? And it's not something that I need to take, right, for me. I know it won't have a positive impact on me, so I won't take the ice cream. All right, see, we need to talk about food, right? So, because we have a lot of food, you know, at this church, so we're gonna talk about food. So we might have something, and it's funny that we don't have food today. We might have things set up in the back, right? Oh, there you go. There's cookies. There's cookies in the back, okay. But let's say we had green beans, macaroni and cheese. All right, look at it. Collard greens. Uh-huh. We had, what else we got? Fried chicken, pig feet. I guess we're in the South now. We Believers Bible Church South. We done moved to Georgia. So, what's that? Turkey and dressing. So, but now as I'm going back there, going past all this delicious food, I will only take the food that I know will agree with me, that will do good for me, right? If you're gluten-free, you shouldn't be back there getting all the biscuits and all the rolls, right? And some people are like, I don't care. But you know it's gonna have an adverse effect on you, right? So the problem is we take stuff that doesn't belong to us. We believe stuff that doesn't belong to us.
Come on, come on.
We actually, sometimes we accept, we hear and accept things that don't belong to us. And see, the Lord recognized this. When we go to, I think I told you Matthew 4. When he was tempted, the enemy came to him in three different ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. He came to him. Well, I know you're hungry. Well, yeah, I'm hungry. It's been 40 days. I haven't eaten anything. Of course I'm hungry. Trying to appeal, but he appealed to him and he wanted him to take these thoughts. But the Lord recognized these thoughts are not mine. These thoughts are from the enemy. So I don't have to take them. I can decide to leave those thoughts alone. And how did he do that? 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, Paul reminds us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is the key part, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And now here is why I love that Paul uses the words bringing into captivity, because no one had been in captivity at this point in his ministry more than Paul. He understood how sometimes, thank you, captives feel helpless. They feel hopeless. They feel powerless. So he wanted us to understand that when we actually decide to focus on faith instead of fear, all these implanted thoughts, all these lies and these murmurs from the enemy, what the enemy will whisper to you about you, all of this stuff doesn't, it's not yours. And when we focus on faith, these things become locked up. They become imprisoned. Throw away the key. Those thoughts that are not ours, when we choose faith, when we have a single focus, when we're not divided
Amen.
In our vision, those, when the whispering come, and it does for each and every one of us, probably every day, for the rest of our natural lives, oh, well, you're not this. Oh, you can't do that. You, nope, you're not going to succeed. Oh, you're going to get in trouble, or you're going to get hurt, or this person's going on a trip. And instead of actually having the faith that God will provide traveling mercies, I'm worrying myself sick that he won't take care of them the entire trip.
Come on.
See, but here's the thing, because everything, we don't get everything that we want. I saw this little baby yesterday getting well, not a baby, but this little kid getting spanked by probably his grandma. He wanted something. She didn't want him to have it. We don't get everything we want. So sometimes it is in God's plan for us to endure the hardships. We could be praying for a particular thing to happen and it doesn't happen. And I know that's not exciting, but that's where we grow. where people are taking from us. We've been praying and fasting that God keep them alive, but he says, but I need to take them. And so we're worried, we're choosing fear. We're fearful that this might happen and God might take them and this might happen to this individual and that might happen to that individual at this time. And so this worry, this anxiety starts to well up inside of us. And God is saying, I want you to instead to choose faith. And if you choose faith, then you trust that no matter the outcome, I'm in the mix. So if you don't get what you want, don't respond like that little kid that was crying when he got spanked. I don't want you to do that. And yes, it's okay to cry. And of course, God, you know, our tears are bottled up. Of course, God loves and is right there and is compassionate to every feeling we have. But sometimes the thing we want doesn't happen. And so we need to choose that faith over fear. We need to allow God to have complete sovereignty, not partial. It's trust. And I'll end with a sort of a testimony, personal testimony. So about 6 weeks ago, I think about 6 weeks ago, most don't know this, my family knows, but I resigned from my job in the Cayman Islands. And everything was, it was so clear that it was the time to do it. It was the time to do it. And some people were like, well, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And I said, well, listen, I have peace. I've prayed, I have peace. They said, what, how do you feel, right? People ask, how do you feel? I said, listen, I only got two emotions right now. Peace and excitement. And said, well, how, but you're walking away from a very good paying job, very good paying job. Beautiful place, and I may still be living there, we'll see. I don't know, but the moral of the story is that I'm trusting, and I was telling my friends, you know, all my friends know, you know, just the word, just, it just, you know, when you love something, you talk about it, right, you know? And the word just comes out, you know, I don't care if you're Hindu, if you're, whatever, they know. And I said, but you know, I said, the steps, I said, this came to me, the steps of a righteous man are ordered. I said, I don't need to know each individual detail. All I need to know is that my steps are ordered. And to trust in the Lord, that came to me. Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Well, that's love the Lord. But trust the Lord in all thy ways, right? And acknowledge him. And he shall what? Direct. So if he's ordering, now here's the thing. Come on up here. So because this is what I like. I think sometimes we need to see exactly what the word is talking about. Okay. So if my steps are ordered by the Lord, that means there's a particular plan to it. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says to trust in the Lord in all thy ways and what? Acknowledge him. He shall direct. Okay. So if each step, stay there, each individual step is ordered by the Lord, I don't need to know exactly where I'm going, because at the same time, now here's the, you see, there's another part of this. He's ordered the steps, but he's also he's directing the path. I don't understand. This just came to me. A director takes control of the flow and the direction of a song or something of that nature, of a film. And so that means they plan everything out in advance. If there's something that would be an impediment, what the director does is move it out the way. So he's ordering my steps, he's directing my path. At the same time, if there's another impediment, look at that, we got angels helping now. He's moving the things out of the way because he doesn't want those things that don't need to be in my path. But look, that's exactly how it should be. Like, God, I don't want to take another step unless I know exactly.
Come on.
Exactly where you are guiding, where you are leading. Because I'm going to stay right here until you say move. And then you say, wait, move again. So we have a God that is that intricately involved in every detail. We're going to get, listen, part two, please hang with me. I know nobody ran around the church. Elder Rod didn't run. Listen, hang with me for part two. I think that's coming at the end. God willing, at the end of the month, and I'll probably be on Zoom. I may be here. Who knows? Okay? At this point, I am just trusting. And I encourage all of you, my brothers and sisters, to trust. And I hope and I pray that you remember that image. I hope and pray that you remember that each and every step is ordered, and he is actually taking the path itself and moving and shifting and raising and moving things out of the way. It reminds me, is my help coming now?
Yeah.
Amen.
It reminds me of when the Lord, remember when they were in a ship? And all of them, it was rocking and the waves were crashing and roaring. And they said, Master, how are you asleep? What is wrong? This ship has been rocking for 5 hours and you are asleep. No one can sleep through this. You clearly just wanted us to come to. And what are you sleeping for? You are God. You just wanted us to rely on you in this situation. So he said, they said, what, we're going to perish. Comes up. This is directing the paths, right?
Yeah.
This is what that means. So he spoke to the winds and the waves and the sea. And it was calm. Peace. What did he say? Peace. Beast. Didn't take a long sermon like mine today. Didn't take a long, elaborate prayer. He said, peace. Beast. That when you have that kind of power to use three words to absolutely change things in the atmosphere, to change the landscape, to change the storm, with three words, that same God is right in your home, inside. So, to close.
Keep going, Elder. Keep going. Part three.
Oh, boy. No matter what happens in our life, good or bad, as we call it, no matter, pain or happiness, what, no matter what happens, take no thought. Don't take that thought of worry. Don't take that thought of fear. Don't take that thought of anxiety. Don't take it. It's not yours. Don't belong to you. Instead, take the thoughts of faith that says, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me, that the battle is not mine, but the Lord's, that I am above only and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. That I am royal priesthood, a holy nation. Though, take those thoughts instead. Don't take those other thoughts. Take those thoughts. Amen. God bless you.